Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of Philippians chapter 3 verse 21. Philippians chapter 3 verse 21.
Philippians chapter 3 verse 21 reads this way. It says, "Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Once again, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your church, as your body. And Lord, we ask for the blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds, that, Lord, you might be ultimately honored and glorified in our lives, empowered to be the witnesses of your great grace. Again, we just ask for your blessing, and Lord, we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is, "He is able to subdue all things unto himself." Do you believe that? He's able to subdue all things unto himself. There's coming a day, and I used to think a little bit differently about this, but there is coming a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess before the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? And I used to think, well, they will do it because of who he is, and they will do it maybe begrudgingly or whatever with a rebellious heart possibly. But I'm wondering if they just won't see the love of God and finally break and admit to who he really is and see the love of God and see what they've missed. I don't know exactly how that's all going to transpire. But regardless, however it works out, it will honor and glorify the Lord. And we'll be thankful that we have trusted the Lord as our Savior. May it motivate us to tell others that they might also know the Lord as their Savior. I want to look at three brief thoughts here tonight. Christ, the believer's focus, the importance of unity in the body of Christ, and then Christ, the focus of the believer's expectation. And so as we consider this, let's just look at verse 10 and back up here. And notice Christ is supposed to be the believer's focus. It says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Right? Then he says this, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. So he's talking here about a couple of things. The power of his resurrection. He's talking about attaining to the resurrection of the dead. And that is that the dead have been made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are crucified with him, is what the Bible teaches. And that really kind of raises an interesting, maybe perplexing truth here. The Bible says that we are alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a spiritual realm, and then there's a physical realm. And you've heard it said before. Let me see. In the book of Hebrews, it says this. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Well, what does that really mean? Well, the faith is the substance, or faith is the substantiating of the things that are hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And it says this, "For it by it the elders attained a good report." And then it goes through the hall of faith, what they did through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to stop and just consider this, that faith substantiates some things in the spiritual realm that we can kind of maybe understand how we substantiate things in the physical realm. So in the physical realm, there are colors, are there not? How do we substantiate color? How do we substantiate music? Well, by our senses, isn't that don't we do that? By our senses. So we could see a beautiful rose, maybe a beautiful red rose. And how is that substantiated? Well, by our sight. We substantiate, we confirm. But if we close our eyes, we won't see the beauty of the rose, right? We can say, look, somebody's wanting to show us a rose, and we close our eyes, and we say, you know what, I can't see it. Now, here's a question. Does that make the rose non-existent because we close our eyes? That's important. No, the rose is just as real, but we can't substantiate the beauty of it unless we open up our eyes. Does that make sense? Sort of? Okay, all right. And then the same thing with music. If we put an earplugs and earmuffs on top of that, and somebody plays us a beautiful instrument. I like violins and the cello and stringed instruments. I like all that kind of stuff. But if our senses are stopped up to that, then they may be playing it, but we're not hearing it, and we can't substantiate and confirm that. Yeah, that was a beautiful piece of music there. And so likewise also, when we consider this, listen, that faith is a substantiating of the things that are hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And of course, we're talking about the unseen spiritual realm. So let me phrase it like this. Listen, do you believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again? You believe that? That's a good truth to believe. Does the world believe that? They don't believe it. They may understand it historically, but why do we believe it as believers? Well, because we put our faith or trust in that truth. We didn't see it. It happened some 2,000 years before. But we put our faith or our trust in that, and God substantiated. It was an unseen thing, but we experienced, to one degree or another, did we not, the free pardon of sin? Didn't we experience our sins being forgiven? Didn't we experience what the Bible calls being born again, born into the family of God, now knowing that we are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ? So faith is, opens up our eyes to the truth and substantiates that truth for us. Now, let me try to complicate things a little bit more. If I haven't gotten you turned around yet, we'll do it here. Just because the world closes its eyes doesn't mean that it negates any of the truths of the Word of God. Is that true? Okay, now listen. You and I have dual citizenship. We are citizens of this earth, but we are also citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Is that true? All right. Now, not only that, we have an opportunity now. We are affected, physically speaking, by the things in this earth and the things of this world. But none of those things, we may look more to those things, but none of those things will negate any of the promises of God that have been given to His children. We may not see them. Why? Because we don't use faith that God might substantiate those truths in our life. So the Bible says that we have been, we can believe, it's such a simple thing really to believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins. We can put our faith and trust in that, but how about the fact that we were also crucified with Christ, that we were made to rise in a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ? See, that's a whole other different ballgame. And by the way, listen, the same way that we receive the righteousness of Christ to be forgiven for our sins, it's the same exact way that we receive the understanding and the truth and the substantiating of the promises of God by faith, right? You just simply believe. Listen, Abraham believed God. Remember when he said, you're going to have your own son, right? And the Bible says that Abraham believed and God counted it to him for righteousness. Now, let's consider something else here. There are so many different things in this world that we can, we can kind of manufacture, we can figure out. An artist can depict a painting of something, but it's maybe not going to be exactly whatever it is that they might be painting. Somebody who would make a map might be off. Of course, things are a little bit more computerized now. They might be more exact, but they're still not going to be perfect, right? But when it comes to math, math is always the same. 2 + 2 will equal 4, whether it's here or any part of the world or even in heaven and even in hell. All these things, listen, math is an exact thing, and that's why God says that we're to reckon and we're to account these things to be so, right? Because that works for all time in eternity past and eternity future. 2 + 2 will equal 4, and when we account, when we take into account these things, that God says, I'm going to substantiate them. Now, when you put money in your account, right? If you put $500 in your account, You wouldn't go to your checkbook and write in $2,000, would you? You're going to have a problem if you do that. Because you're going to think you have something you don't have, and the bank will let you know about it. And so likewise, listen, and you wouldn't, surely you wouldn't do, if you said 500, you wouldn't put 100 in there. But you would put, you would reckon $500 means I have how much in there? $500. So that means I'm going to write down $500. And so God says we are to reckon the promises of God by faith, and he will substantiate them. He will make them real and give us the realization or the understanding by our faith or trust in him. He will bring these things to pass. Now, he says we've been risen again. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to tell us that sin is non-existence. That's not the case. We still deal with sin, but we must not let that be the focus and forget about the promises of God that enables us to live by faith in the promise that he said that, listen, our old man has died with Christ, and we've been given a new one to live for the honor and glory of the Lord. But if we're just narrow, well, listen, I'm just a sinner. I'm going to mess up. I'm never going to be able to do this. And there's two problems with that. First of all, there's no faith in the Lord. Secondly, the focus is on my ability and not the promise of God. So what am I going to do? Well, I'm obviously right where the devil wants me, looking at myself and looking at my abilities instead of looking to the one who can enable me and has overcome all of my sins, has he not? Back on Calvary. He's already done that. So keep that thought in mind as we run through these scriptures. And let's look at the believer's focus again. Look at verse 10. That I may know him. How? By faith. See, not by my physical experience, but by his promise and the power of his resurrection. Did God just say the power of his resurrection because he just needed something to put there in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10? You know what? This sounds good. We'll just put the power of his resurrection, and that means absolutely nothing. No, of course not. That absolutely has purpose and intent, and not only that, but power. And so God is saying here that I might know, and we might say, well, this is the Apostle Paul. Of course, he's going to know the power of his resurrection. No, this is to all believers. That's why it's written. And the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death, that the old man might be crucified, that the new life in Christ might be experienced and released for a better sense of a definition on that. Verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. This is the power of Christ. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which I am also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He was taken by, he was experiencing the promises of God. Do you think Paul wanted other believers to experience what God was giving to him? Absolutely. That's what he was living for. He was enjoying Christ himself so much. He was so enraptured with the Lord Jesus Christ that he said, you know, it would be better for me if I were to be dead and go home to be with the Lord. But you know what's more needful for you? That I stay and show you and help you understand what God has given to me so you can be in the same boat. Not because you're tired of this life, because that's what a lot of people do. You know, my goodness, I'm so tired. Lord, come quickly. I've done that. I've said that, all right? But here's the deal. God wants us to experience. Why would we want to come before the Lord? Not because we're tired of this life, but because we want more of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul said, my cup overflows, and I want to make sure that other believers get this as well. So he says this, verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. That's good. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. What are those things? Well, you know, it's your 401k. It's your electric bill. It's your, right? No. The things that are set before us have to do with our relationship in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, I'm reaching for those things. How is he reaching for those things? What was it that made it so real? Paul put his trust or faith in what the Lord Jesus Christ had promised, and God was substantiating those to where you could, do you think you could tell Paul, you know what, that's just a figment of your imagination. I know what you're saying. You're not really experiencing that. You know, he would look at us like we were crazy. He would say, listen, you don't know. So if I were to tell you, you see this little bouquet of flowers right here? You're just, that's all in your mind. How about this? Those people that say, you know, we're not really here. That's when you start sidestepping, you know, okay, and kind of go the other way. And there are people that believe that, you know, we're not really here. Well, my goodness, they've got some other issues. But when it comes to the things of God, let me ask you this. Are they not more real and of greater value than the things that are temporal and passing away? In 100 years, what will anything on earth matter if it was the sight of the Lord Jesus Christ? It won't matter a bit, will it? Not one little bit. So he says, that's why I'm pressing in verse 14 toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, let's look at the importance of the unity in the body of Christ. Verse 15, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, or mature is what that word is, being thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, listen to this, God shall reveal even this unto you. In other words, if you're reaching out to the Lord by faith, and he's substantiating things in your life, God will communicate to you. God will speak to you. Now, not audibly and not visibly, physically, but through his word and through his spirit, he will communicate and he will confirm and affirm things in our lives concerning himself. So he says this, again, verse 15, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. He'll let you know what is of the spirit realm and what is of the physical realm. If you're otherwise minded, it's something other than the spiritual realm, and God will let you know. He will redirect. Nevertheless, verse 16, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Well, what same thing is that? Well, the promise of the Word of God. The things that are intended for the believers to inherit and to enjoy and to walk into. We shouldn't be like the Bible says, like the Gentiles, the unbelievers who don't know this. God wants us to know. These are things that God expects every believer to enter into and to enjoy. And here's the wonderful thing. God is the one that is leading us into these things if we're seeking him. If we're really seeking him. A lot of times believers, listen, and I'm not making light of problems at all, but if we're not careful, this is what the devil would have us to do. Look at our problems and never see Jesus. Be so overwhelmed with an upside down life that we won't bother. See, question. Was Paul's life easy? How many of you in here would exchange lives with Paul? He had an unbelievable relationship with the Lord. But by all means, it was not easy. We're not told what that thorn in the flesh was. And he was able to come to the place of rest and realize when God told them that through weakness, your faith in me will be made strong. You'll see my power in your life. And so he stopped asking. That's amazing. And so see, the devil would have us to look. And I'm not saying, look, The things we face in this world are real. They're real. But they bring to null and void the things of promise that must be received by faith. So in other words, I'm going to choose to either believe what God is saying or I'm going to believe what I'm seeing in the world. If our eyes are open in the world, then they're closed in the spirit realm. We're not going to see. In other words, if we let those things govern our lives, I promise you the devil will see to it that you never get your head above water. We have to make a clean break and say, okay, I'm going to have to set these things aside and pursue God, or I will never find them. The world, the flesh, and the devil will use the natural realm to keep us from seeing the things that are in the spiritual realm. And we will miss out on the promises of God. So the importance of the unity of the church, He says this in verse 16, "Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same..." See, he's saying us. Verse 15, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if any in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall even reveal this unto you." He's talking to the church. "Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule." Let us mind the same things. Paul was bringing the church in. He was saying, this is for us, not just for me. It's for all of us as believers. "Brethren," verse 17, "be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example." In other words, listen, the truth is never to be compromised for the sake of unity. In other words, we're not just going to say, well, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, so we're going to allow this in, we're going to allow that in. He says, oh, no, listen, there is a way that the Spirit leads, and if there's a contradiction in them, mark them and don't follow that. Notice what it says here in verse 18. "For many walk," they have a profession, "of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping that they are the" what? "The enemies of the cross of Christ." Listen, they walk, they speak with their mouths, and they have a profession, but they are the enemies of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. Who mind, that's what they're given to, earthly things. They're more concerned about that than the things that are spiritual. You know what? Listen, if we're so mindful about earthly things, we're not going to know how to love the family of God the way God wants. Listen, Jesus said, by the love that you have one to another is how the world's going to know you belong to me. And if we're so preoccupied with ourselves, the love of God won't shine through. And what will happen is any love that we will display will be manufactured of the flesh, and anything that's of the flesh will not glorify the Lord. And so it's important that the body of Christ be unified, but in the Spirit of Christ and not of the world, and definitely not of the flesh. And the last thing here we'll look at is the focus of the believer's expectation. But again, this is something that God substantiates by our trust or faith in Him to perform it. Verse 20. "For our conversation," that word conversation has to do with our manner of living, the way that we live, how we live, "is in heaven, from whence also ye look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, if we're not expecting God, listen, if we're not expecting God to fulfill the things that He's promised, that we might be His light here on earth, that you are the light of the world, right? You're the salt of the earth. If we're not experiencing that, then we're not really looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're just trying to make it through. It's all we're trying to, just trying to make it through. God did not save us for us just to try to make it through. God has delivered us. He is delivering us, and He will yet deliver us. And so He wants us to look to Him. So again, He says, verse 20, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also ye look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." But that's just not future tense, that's also present. Ultimately, it will all be culminated in heaven, and that is the main thrust of it. But I want you to know something here, that He's also saying that we can also enjoy that change here. Otherwise, verse 1 in chapter 4 is out of place. Therefore, look at verse 1 there of chapter 4. "Therefore, because of what was just said, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown." Listen, "so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." So now you can stand fast. What does that mean? Stand your ground. Remember we talked about the armor of God? It's for the frontal assault. We don't fight for victory. We fight from victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the wonderful news. The Lord stands with us. He does not leave us nor forsake us. We're not left alone. We are positioned in Him, in His power, to stand. Do you see the difference that brings in our mind? We have to use spiritual eyes to see the wonderful, precious promises that God has given to all of us as believers. Or all we will see are the temporal things of this world. God wants us to see how to, let me explain it like this. When you got saved, did you know you got saved? That's a question. Amen? All right, that's one of us. Let me try that again. When you got saved, was there any doubt? No. When you got saved, did you know it? Amen? We knew it. How do you explain that to anybody who's not a believer? You can't, really. You know why? Because once I was blind, but now I what? God opened my eyes, did he not? God opened our eyes. But it's not just to salvation. And please don't misunderstand me when I say that. That's just the beginning. God wants to open our eyes to all of his promises. If we'll have it, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, the encouragement that it brings, the understanding that it gives to us. Lord, open up our hearts, our minds, and our eyes, spiritually speaking, that we might see that you've already provided all these things. And if we'll just call out to you and walk by faith, seeking you, you will substantiate these things. Lord, place it in our hearts to call upon you and to ask you to help us to understand and to walk in the truths that you've provided for us. Bless the rest of the evening as we break off for prayer. We'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.